In the WSJM newsroom, I'm Ken Lundberg. Michigan State Police are investigating an officer-involved shooting in Benton Harbor that happened on Wednesday. State Police out of the Pawpaw office say a trooper shot a suspect around 1:30 in the afternoon in the 1300 block of Monroe Street. The trooper had pulled someone over. They learned they had warrants outstanding. The driver tried to flee and struck a Benton Harbor Department of Public Safety officer in the process. Benton Harbor officer suffered a minor injury to the leg. The trooper then opened fire on the suspect, hitting him twice. No other shots were fired. Michigan State Police Lieutenant Duane Robinson tells us an outside team is now investigating.
It is just unfortunate that this incident occurred. It's in a pretty dense community here in the 1300 block of Monroe. We're so fortunate that no bystanders or residents were injured as a result. The officer from Benton Harbor and a member of Michigan State Police both did their jobs according to their training.
Robinson says the report will be forwarded to the Berrien County Prosecutor's Office when it's finished. The suspect was taken to the Berrien County Jail after receiving medical treatment. One person is dead following a dramatic high-speed crash in Benton Harbor on Wednesday. The Benton Harbor Department of Public Safety says officers were sent to the scene on Britton Avenue near Pipestone around 2:40 in the afternoon. The crash involved one vehicle, a silver Buick driven by 33-year-old Daryl Pargo Jr. of Benton Harbor. According to police, Pargo had passed several cars heading westbound on East Britton. And as he was completing the pass and getting back into his lane, he lost control and struck two utility poles, sending the vehicle airborne, flipping, and then landing on its wheels. Emergency responders used the jaws of life to try to remove Pargo, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. It is unknown at this time if drugs or alcohol were involved, but an autopsy will be performed. AEP was on site replacing equipment afterwards so power could be restored to the surrounding neighborhood. As we told you yesterday, a big announcement at the Palisades Nuclear Power Plant. Leaders from around Southwest Michigan are hailing news that the last piece of the puzzle is now in place, clearing the way for the Palisades Nuclear Power Plant to restart. That piece is the U.S. Department of Energy's conditional approval of a $1.5 billion loan for Holtec International to move forward with the project. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm was here to make the announcement with Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Whitmer says it's history in the making.
It was a long, windy road to get here, but I'm so happy to be here. When we get it done, it'll be the first restarted nuclear power plant in American history.
Congressman Bill Huizinga tells us growing the nation's energy portfolio while creating jobs is a good investment.
Frankly, as a nation, we've got to figure out how we are going to move forward with nuclear energy. And I think it is a very viable, necessary form of energy and needs to be part of our portfolio. So now with this experiment and bringing Palisades back on, I think it's going to be good. It's going to be good for Southwest Michigan when it comes to jobs.
State Representative Joey Andrews concurs. He tells us the Palisades effort was the first thing brought to his attention when he was elected, and things have progressed quickly. He credits President Biden.
The funds that they're using to do this were part of Biden's infrastructure bill package that went through last year. The massive investment they made in nuclear in there, his loan program is a part of that. So without the infrastructure bill passing, we wouldn't have this investment available. And that was pretty clear when we started having this initial conversation.
Andrews says the Palisades reopening will be a major boost to the Van Buren County economy, which was hit hard when the facility closed. He adds it helps Michigan get more energy from a clean source. The loan approval is conditional on Holtec meeting all regulatory and safety hurdles. So what's next? We asked Holtec's Patrick O'Brien.
There'll be a process where we continue to work with the DOE loan program to finalize and close that loan. In the short term, that's kind of from a DOE perspective what we'll be working on. But we'll continue really with the key path is continuing to work with the NRC to go through the licensing actions needed.
O'Brien says Holtec has already started to rehire the 600 workers they'll need to run the plant, with about 300 on site now. Some of the employees are previous Palisades workers who just retired when the plant closed, while others are moving back to Southwest Michigan. There's a rigorous process, they say, that will need to be followed.
Similarly, when we were an operating plant, you would have a planned maintenance outage. We're going to go through, you know, all the systems, safety systems, things along those lines, and we'll ensure that they're in tip-top shape before we look to restart.
O'Brien says the goal is to have Palisades operating by late next year. There are also plans to construct two small modular reactors at the site, which will require yet more employees when brought online. He says this is historic, as no other nuclear power plant has been brought back to life in this fashion, creating an example for how it can be done. The Bicentennial Bridge in St. Joseph is open to land-based vehicles, cars, and trucks, but it's literally closed to taller boat traffic. Michigan Department of Transportation spokesman Nick Sharippa tells us the part of the bridge that lifts the drawbridge is not working. It needs to be fixed, and that means masted boats without enough clearance can't go through. However, those that can still run under the bridge without it opening can do so. Sharippa says they're working on the fix, but it's going to take some time.
Next steps are having that replacement cylinder inspected to make sure it's still good. It obviously been on inventory for a while, so we inspect that new cylinder and then getting a contractor and a contract in place to have that work done. So we are looking at a process that may take several more weeks.
The broken cylinder is part of the rolling girders that allow the bridge to open. Sharippa says the bridge is otherwise safe for vehicular traffic. A new series of events is planned in South Haven to bring the community together through song. Soha Sings organizer Sherry Stein tells us that they're inviting everyone to come by Dyckman Park on the second Wednesday of each month to do what? To sing.
It is not a performance, it's not a concert, it's not a rehearsal, it's a good old-fashioned sing-along for a whole hour in order to try and build some community unity and belonging through getting to sing together, which you don't often get to do.
Stein says it's going to be a fun event no matter how many people show up to sing.
Oh, I hope so. Absolutely. Everybody is invited. Everybody is welcome. We are going to do this if there's six of us sitting around having a real great time or if there's 60.
Stein says the team is curating songs that are easy to learn and have a spirit of unity so that anyone can take part and have a good time. She was inspired to start Soha Sings when attending a concert where the whole crowd of around 40,000 people sang along. Soha Sings will begin on April 10 and run from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Dyckman Park. It will continue the second Wednesday of each month at the same time through October. Stein says you don't have to be able to sing to come by and join in. Some nice news for a Berrien County man who won $200,000 in the Michigan lottery. The state lotto office says the man, who wishes to remain anonymous, won his prize in the club keno game on February 28. The 57-year-old player won $100,000 when his club keno numbers matched 10 of the 20 club keno numbers drawn in the draw, and then thanks to the kicker, the prize was multiplied to $200,000. He won at Chatterbox in Benton Harbor. The winner says he goes there each week for a burger and always buys a few club keno tickets. He says he was nearing the end of his draw that night and not doing well, but then his luck changed. He adds, winning still hasn't sunk in. The player recently visited lottery headquarters to claim the prize, and with his winnings, he says he plans to pay bills, put a down payment on a new home, and save for retirement. The city of Hartford is planning an event for the public to meet their first responders. It'll be held Friday, April 5th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Hartford High School parking lot during spring break. The event will feature community partners shooting hoops on the basketball court with families, a Touch a Truck event, and a free lunch sponsored by the Hartford Fire Department and Smoke and D's food truck. There will also be prizes given away. Hartford Mayor Richard Hall says the city council is excited to see the community join together and have fun, and the public is invited. The city of Buchanan is seeking grants to improve two parks. Assistant Community Development Director Ashley Regal tells us the city commission this week voted to apply for state grants for Riverfront Park and Victory Park. She says a survey was done of residents as part of a long planning process, and it found they want better river access.
80% of the public said that the city of Buchanan should make efforts to improve the connectivity and access to the St. Joseph River. So we are pretty confident moving forward with these efforts.
So the Riverfront Park grant would pay for improvements to the boat launch and nearby infrastructure. Meanwhile, a survey of residents on the north side of town identified another park with certain needs.
We asked them to identify some priorities, and their priority was Victory Park, which is a park in that neighborhood, which has not had a lot of investment over the years.
Regal says the city has been investing in the park since with a basketball court and a pavilion. Now they want to install a playground. The city is seeking a $244,000 grant from the State Natural Resources Trust Fund for the riverfront work and a $140,000 grant for the state's Recreation Passport Program for the playground at Victory Park. The projects would have local matches of $85,000 and $49,000, respectively. And finally, if the weather cooperates, Monroe County, Michigan is apparently a prime viewing location for the upcoming solar eclipse that's set to pass on Monday, April 8th. Sterling State Park, located on Lake Erie, will host their first ever eclipse viewing party. Ranger Chris Hurst says they have 900 solar eclipse glasses to give away, and they expect a few hundred people to attend their viewing party.
This will be the first time we have ever hosted an eclipse event at the park. You know, it's a very rare occurrence when the Michigan DNR gets to hold an event, especially an event based on an astronomical event, and then that being one that you don't even need a telescope to view. But we are, this is the first one of its kind here, but we're very excited about it.
You don't need to rent a camping space to enter the park, just a Michigan recreation passport. Those can be purchased at any Michigan Secretary of State office. In the WSJM newsroom, I'm Ken Lundberg.